Welcome to another inspirational message from Church on the Rock Powell. Thank you for listening. And if you would like more information, you can visit us at www.therockchurch.co.za.
Well, welcome to church. It's so good that we get to be together, and I couldn't agree more. I'm excited for the message, and I do pray that we have a heart after God. I pray that we have a heart for God. And you know, we have a saying here, something we believe, and we say that our expectation is an invitation for God to move. And so really my hope is that you come here on a Sunday, that you have a hope for God to speak into your world, to speak into your life when you come here on a Sunday. You know, when we go to the grocery stores, when we go and buy our groceries and we need to buy more things than we can commit to memory or more things that we can carry, there's normally two things that we do. First, we make a list of what we need before we go. In other words, we prepare, right? And the second thing we do is we make sure that we grab a trolley when we get to the shop. Otherwise, we're not going to be able to carry everything that we need, and we might probably leave something behind, and we don't want to do that. Well, I believe that the same is true when we show up to receive from God. We actually need to come prepared to receive from God. Which means we need to be praying. We need to be asking God to prepare our hearts before we come here and before we come before God. And then we also need to be ready to carry as much as we can out with us on a Sunday. And so that means taking notes. That means being engaged. That means being prepared. Or else we might just miss something that God is preparing for us. And I don't believe that God wants that for us. And you know, Paul tried to remind Timothy of the same passion and same importance of the preaching that happens on a Sunday. He said in 1 Timothy 4:13, pay attention to public reading, preaching, and teaching. So church, if you want to change your Sunday God experience, I want to encourage you to come prepared. Come expectant for God to speak into your life. Come ready to receive. And so let's be bold right now in this moment and actually invite God to speak into our lives. Invite Him to change us, to help us leave changed, leave different. And so if you're ready for the message today, say it after me. My heart's open. My mind's ready. And I won't be the same again. In Jesus' name, amen. Because the difference between coming expectant or not means encountering God during the praise and worship already, not at the end of the message. Encounter God in the beginning of the service. But if you've been with us over the past few months, these first few months of the year, I think, you know, I've had this experience, and you might agree with me, that God has been doing something incredible through this church, but through the church in general, and both here and in Wellington. And I honestly believe that God has been working from that first message we received at the beginning of the year. He's been steering us. He's been steering our hearts in a direction that I believe is going to make a massive difference in the world around us, in our lives, but also beyond us as a church. And so we've experienced how God moved in that first week of that week of prayer and fasting that we had that led up to Vision Sunday. I mean, we trusted God, we stepped out, we fasted and we prayed for the year ahead, and God showed up. You know, more recently, we saw so many lives touched through the Stand Camp, which impacted 1,000 teenagers, 1,000 young people forever. You know, then we had our Easter weekend, which was just the other day, and God showed up, and this house was packed, and you invited your friends and your family, and I believe God changed lives, so many salvations, so many decisions to follow Jesus. And if you're visiting, or maybe you're new with us and you missed some of these, those are just a few things, a few of the moments that have passed in the last few months where I believe God has really showed up. He's really put His hand on us and said He's doing something incredible. And the proof of that is in all those testimonies. But just when I think that moment's passing and I think, you know, that God's done it all, He does it again and He shows up again and He does something again. And so I really believe that there's so much more ahead of us and that God's going to do so many more great things for Paul, for Wellington, for the church that we're a part of. Now, if the past few months are any indication at all of what the next few months are going to look like, then ladies, I hope you're ready for Sisters Night, because it's coming soon and it's going to be incredible. You know, in the years that have passed, all the years that I've been here, God has showed up at every Sisters event. It's fun, it's encouraging, it's life-giving, and it's an incredible opportunity for us, the church. And so here's the catch about Sisters. You actually have to be in the room to receive it. You actually have to be in the room to experience it. So invite your world to be with you. Not only that, but we've got the Family Fun Day coming up. We spoke about it. And that's just a fun way to make a difference beyond ourselves in the community around us. And really, we're inviting you to be a part of the greater community, be a part of what we're doing, be a part of the lives that are impacted at Rock Care, and come and join us for that, so we can see others flourish, so that we can be a part of something greater that God is doing. So I'm talking a lot about community and about the church, and you might be here thinking, geez, I don't even have that on my mind because I've got my own things, my own challenges that you're going through with. And I'm well aware that there's people, possibly even in this room, that have their own challenges. Maybe you're here today and you're thinking, you know what, I don't really have a community around me. I don't have people that I can rely on to encourage me, to carry me through the difficult things I need to go on. But I want to remind you today that God's promises for your life still stand. That the promises that He spoke in the Bible, that He spoke back then to David, back all the way back then, they still stand for you. They still stand for your life. You're not alone. Jesus is in that situation with you. God is with you when you go through tough times. And you don't have to give up on God, because He will never give up on you. And you need to know that God will never give up on you. You know, as a staff team, we read leadership books together, books that develop us, strengthen us. And one of the books we're reading now in the chapter that we just read spoke about these guys that went out for a night swim together into the ocean, into the rough waters. And although they were near each other, because of the conditions that they found themselves in, they felt as though they were alone. They felt as though they were alone in those waters, worried about the sharks and the next thing and the next thing. But you need to know today that you're not alone when you go through those waters. When you go through what feels like a rough ocean, you're not alone, because our God actually walks on water. Our God actually can calm the seas in our lives. And you're not alone. If you actually pay attention, there's people around you that have been through it, that can stand with you in faith, that can encourage you through it all. And so Mark shared at the start of the year how we are going to be believing for people to be bold. We've put it on our wall. We're going to be bold people, people with bold dreams, invitations, prayers. And we've seen people step out. We've seen people make that decision, and God has honored that. But I honestly believe that it's nothing compared to what God can still do if we remain bold, if we remain as bold as a lion, it says in Proverbs 28 verse 1. And you know, to be bold is to be confident. That's what it means. It means being confident, not only now, but in what's still to come, in what God's still going to do. And Paul teaches us that we should never give up that boldness. Don't give up being bold just because of the challenges or because you think God's done. He's not done. No, the confidence that we have, we must keep, because there's a promise to receive if we don't give up. This is what it says in Hebrews 10:35-36. Therefore, don't throw away your confidence in God, in other words, which has a great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. God has a plan and a purpose for each of us, but He calls us to be a part of something greater, to never give up. How incredible is it that when God wants to do incredible things, when He wants to move, He uses people in a room like this. Ordinary people like you and like me. Has the thought ever crossed your mind that just maybe God wants to use you for something incredible, for something that's going to change lives? Just maybe God wants to use me for something that's going to impact the world for good and for God. And He's using seemingly ordinary people, people like you and I, with full schedules, with families, with jobs, with commitments, with demanding lives. He's using people like that to change the world. And God is ready to use you. He's building up leaders, I believe it, here at The Rock, that are going to shape the world as we know it. And that's you. And the exciting thing for me is that God is not done yet. He's just getting started. He's just starting to break through, to do great things. And so we need to be ready to walk into all God has for us. You need to be bold and stand on His promises. Trust in God. But the enemy will whisper those doubts into our ear. He's going to say, why would God want to use you? You know, why do you think God wants you to be a part of that? You know, you don't even have your own life sorted out. How can you be a part of something greater? But we need to remember that God doesn't just call the qualified, but He actually qualifies the called. And if you were here last week, Mark said it, we are called to follow Jesus. We need to be available. God's not only worried about ability, but availability. Everything we're called to do, God is going to do through us. And He's going to do it by His power and with Jesus by our side. But we need to walk with Him. So don't let your circumstances define what your God's able to do. Amen. Let God define your future. The challenges you are facing now, they're not going to overcome you. They're just a stepping stone for God to do something great in your life. But you've got to stand on that promise. Stand in faith and don't give up. There are more people, I believe, that are going to sit in this room, that are in this room right now, that are going to find freedom, that are going to find purpose, that are going to find a calling, that calling for their lives. They're going to start living boldly. And I can't wait to see how God does that. I can't wait to see how God uses the people in this room to change the world around us. And when He does move in your lives, and He will, and when He does, remember that God doesn't just move in our lives for us, but He intends it to go beyond us. He intends our lives to reach the lives of others. He has so many good things for us, the church, the believers that come together to do beyond these walls. But we need to step into what Jesus is calling us to do. He qualifies and calls ordinary people like us to be a part of something greater, a part of a family of world changers. I really believe that. Did you know that lions are the only cats who live in groups? Now, those of you who have five cats or more, you might have experienced differently, but lions are the only cats who actually stay in groups. And I believe that a part of their dominance and their power of lions is actually the fact that they are in groups. And I believe if God is calling us, come on, to be as bold as lions, then I think we need to find some lions to stand alongside. We need to actually get along some of the lions that are in this room and stand in faith for what God's going to do. Who knows what we can do for God's kingdom if we find the lions around us. You know, at Kids Church right now, at our youth programs during the week, God is busy building up lions for the future. In rooms like this on a Sunday, God is making lions out of us, but we need to stand firm on God's promises. We need to actually step into what He's calling us to. So today, really, there's just four things that I want to share that I believe we should do if we want to see change in our lives and if we want to be a part of something greater. You guys ready for that? Come on. And the first one is this. We need to let go and receive. Let go and receive. If we want to boldly move forward with God into our future as individuals, as a community, as a family, then there's some things that we're going to have to let go of before we can take those steps. Some hurts from our past, some insecurities that we need to let go of, some anger that we've kept hold of, some ways of thinking that just aren't correct, and some lies that maybe have caused us to live small. We need to let go of those things if we want to move forward. You know, I have a much younger brother that stayed with us just before Easter, Ethan, and while he was with me, he wanted to play a game of chess. And so I was like, that's fine, we can play. And we played, and I quickly realized that that I'm not very good, and that he actually is pretty good at chess. And in our first game, early on, way too early, he was about to take my queen. So if you've played chess, then you know the queen's quite important in the game of chess, especially when you're playing against a nine-year-old. And so he was about to take my queen. And so I actually had to sacrifice a different piece to keep my queen. And I won the game, but that's not important. But I had to give up a piece to save my queen. And so the question we must ask ourselves is, what must I let go of if I want to receive what Jesus has for me? If you want to receive the queens that God's prepared for you, what are the things that you need to let go of? Because Jesus came to give us life and life to the fullest. And He can move us into a position where we can be a light to so many people in our lives. But we have to let go of some things that might be holding us back, whether it be pride, resentment, guilt, maybe it's anger that you've just been holding on to. You need to let go of that and actually trust Jesus. We need to let go of those things if we want to move forward with God. And in Ephesians 4 verse 17, it says this. So I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do. In other words, don't live as you used to live. In the futility of their thinking, they are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of their ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. In other words, because they won't let go of some things that they've been holding on to, they don't know how good it could be with God. Because they can't let go of some things, their hearts are hard. And you know, we all have a past. We all have made mistakes. But we don't have to live in a place where those things define us. You know, Jesus points us to a better life, a full life, free from those old ways. Because of Jesus, we can be different from how we used to be. And we can know God's favor in our future. We can. It's His promise for us. But that means letting go and releasing our past, releasing ourselves to Jesus. We can let go of some things and receive a better future, a better life that God has prepared for us. And be a part of this greater family that God calls the church. And that speaks life. You know, we can be a part of a family that speaks life into us, that encourages us, that carries us, that moves us forward. It goes on to say in verse 21, this is so important. When you heard about Christ and you were taught in Him in accordance with that truth that is Jesus, in Jesus, you were taught. So he's referring to these moments that we have with God, these moments where we're receiving teaching, moments like this when we come together in church. Life groups. He's talking about the times when we challenged. It says you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. You see, the passage says that we need to put off our old self. Then we need to put on our new self. And so we need to actually do something. We have a part to play in this process. We need to put off our old self, let go of some things, and then take hold of Jesus. Put on our new self. Receive the things that God has prepared for you to make you more like Christ, to lead you into a better future. Put off pain and put on the peace that God has prepared for you. Put off that pride and put on that humility that God is calling you to. Put off anger and put on love that God has prepared for you. Put off the guilt and put on the confidence that God has for you. Put off that self-reliance and put on faith in Jesus. But the mistake we make, church, is we think that we actually need to have it all figured out before we can take that step, before we can get close to Jesus. We need to figure it out. But that's not true. Community is there to help you, encourage you, be with you as you take those steps to be closer to Jesus. As you walk, that walk with Him starts with others alongside you. It starts as you take steps along the way. He helps you take off those old things and put on some new things as you step out, as you walk with Him. Every day is an opportunity for us to put on the things God has prepared for us, to put on those new things. And we do that by seeking Him, by receiving, by responding to who Jesus is. Daily steps towards Him. Not alone, not only alone, but also in community. In community. And that's why we encourage every single person, join a group, join a life group, join a dream team. It's not to keep you busy. It's to enrich your life. It's to help you walk in the things that God has for you. It's to help connect you to people who can encourage you along the way, who can grow you, who can stretch you, who can be with you. And I want to encourage you to do that, to join a group. Which brings me to my next point. If we want to be a part of something greater, then we need to, number two, take hold and discover. Everybody still with me? Come on. Take hold and discover. You see, the point of receiving new life is so that we can have a restored relationship with God again. But God, that relationship that God restores, it's also to restore you to His plans, to His purposes, to His promises, and also to His people. God wants you to be in restored relationship to His people. And all of that points us to living a life with others, and that changes others. This life is not about only ending up in heaven, but it's about seeing heaven touch earth now. And that means taking a hold of this life with Jesus and discovering our part. How has God called me to be a part of the greater work that He's equipped me for? What is Jesus doing through me? And you know, Jesus sets the perfect example for each of us. In John 13, verse 3-5, He says this. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under His power and that He had come from God and was returning to God. So Jesus knew who He was. He knew His authority. He knew His position. And it says this, so He got up from the meal, took off His outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around His waist. After that, He poured water in a basin and began to wash His disciples' feet, drying them with a towel that was wrapped around Him. So here we see the teacher wash the feet of the students. We see a king wash the feet of the common. We see a saint wash the feet of sinners. We see God wash the feet of the ones that he loves. And it goes on in verse 12 and it says this. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. Do you understand what I've done for you? He asked them. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is who I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. He sets the perfect example, the ultimate example of humility. Jesus, the King of all kings, washes the feet of others. And we receive the same command from God to do as he has done. And I want to encourage you today to take hold of what Jesus has done for you. Take hold of the fact that he paid the ultimate price for you, that he washes you clean of sin, and that he calls you to be a part of what he's doing, to wash the feet of others. Come on, not to step back, but God calls us to step into all that he has before us. And we said it earlier, we have growth steps coming up. Come on, next week, join us. Come and discover your purpose. Come and discover who we are as a church, what God has called you for, what God has put inside you. Come and discover how he's designed you and created you. And take hold of all God has for you. And that's my encouragement to you today. So take hold and discover all God has for you. Amen. The next thing we need to do, if we want to be a part of something greater, come on. Number three, we need to grow closer to reach beyond. I believe that. We need to grow closer to reach beyond. You see, the church is the hope of the world. The church is the hope. And we have a purpose and a role to play when we all come together. We together, we are so much better. Coming together is the key that's going to unlock the potential of the local church. Being united and committed to a common cause, to what God is calling us to, is how we're going to see the world around us impacted forever. We should always be working to finding ways so that we can grow closer, so that we can reach beyond. And that takes each of us, each and every single one of us. You know, I spoke about the lions earlier, but a pride of lions can control, I didn't believe this at first, a territory of anything between 50 square kilometers to 1,000 square kilometers. Cape Town is 300 square kilometers. So obviously that would depend on the size of the pride. But the same is true for the church. We need to actually grow closer. We need to make room for new people. We need to be able to stand together to rely on one another if we want to reach further, if we want to take territory for God, if we want to see the lives of the unsaved change, if we want people to know what we know, then we need to stand together and reach beyond. And really, that's what God is calling us to. We see it at our youth programs. I was involved at the youth program before. They are so intentional to develop the young leaders that are coming up there, you know, calling them to step into new roles. And the response is almost always the same when new leaders are called to step up. I can't do that. I don't think I'm capable of doing that. Like, up there? What? No, I can't lead that small group. But every time, as they walk with each other, as they take those steps, as they are encouraged along the way, as they just walk with God, we see them flourish into the young leaders we have at our youth programs, at our kids' church. In this church, God does it time and time again. And in Philippians 2, verse 1 to 5, this is the call to us. If you've gotten anything out of following Christ, if his love has made any difference in your life, if being in community of spirit means anything to you, if you have love, if you have care, then do me a favor, agree with each other. In other words, be in unity. Love each other. How do we do that? We serve one another and be deep-spirited friends. In other words, be a part of the family. Join a life group. Join a group. Don't push your way to the front. He goes on to say that we should help others get ahead. In verse 4, it goes on to say, forget yourselves long enough to lend a helping hand. What a challenge. Forget yourselves long enough to lend a helping hand. Think of yourselves the way Christ thought of himself. And we know, we read earlier how Christ thought of himself. Humble enough to wash the feet of the ones he loves. So my question, in verse 15, and this is such a beautiful picture of what the active church could look like. It says this, go out into the world uncorrupted, a breath of fresh air in the squalid and polluted society. Provide people with a glimpse of good living and of the living God. Carry the light-giving message into the night. Come on, that's what the church can look like when we stand together, when we stand with God. And so my question for you is, do you have a church community? Do you have friends that stand alongside you? Do you have people that you can serve with, that you can make a difference with beyond yourself? Do you have people that you're just doing life with, good godly people that you can get to know and do life with? Because I believe God is telling us that we need to come together if we want to reach beyond, if we want to make a greater impact in the world around us, if we want to see the full potential of what God has for our own lives. And this is how we are part of something greater, by realizing the best versions of ourselves when we are in community. You know, we're able to achieve so much more, not because of the talents and the gifts of a few, but because of the sacrifice of so many people. We've seen it throughout the history of this church. God has showed up when ordinary people stand together and believe God for the impossible. That's when God moves. It's about each of us coming together. Amen. Then lastly, if you want to know the life that is a part of something greater, a part of the greater work that God has for you and the greater calling God has for your life, then we need to be bold and believe. We need to be bold and believe. Because of course, nothing is possible unless we're first willing and able to recognize that Jesus is the only one who can lead us out from that old life, from those old things, and into new life. He is the only one who can help us step out of those things that and walk into our full potential. He is the Lion of Judah. He is the one who's coming back for His church. He is the one that has every victory. That is Christ. And we need to be bold and believe in that Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and behold, the new has come." I believe, you know, and I've shared now how we need to be bold. We need to step out. We need to take hold of what God has for us. How we need to come closer, to reach further, to follow Jesus and make a difference in the world around us. But before any of that can become a reality for us, we have to be bold and believe that Jesus is who He says He is. That He is who He says He is. That He is Lord of our lives. That He is our King. That He is the only one who can wash away our sins. That He is the only one who can make us new. That He paid the ultimate price and that He conquered death. You know, last week Mark preached a powerful message on how we can trust and follow Jesus in our own lives. And I want to encourage you, that message is online from right now, from today, you can get it. And I want you to watch it if you haven't watched it. Share it with those around you, because we need to know that we can trust and we can follow Jesus. He calls us to follow Him. And I want to tell you again that the first step to experiencing this full life with Jesus is to know who He is in your life personally. Amen. Come on, let's pray. The team can come up. But I know that God is preparing us for such great things. In your personal walk with God, He's got a promise for your life. He's got plans and purposes for you. But before you leave here today, I want to give you the opportunity to actually take that step. We've been talking about taking a step. I want to give you an opportunity to take a step towards Jesus. And for some of you today, that journey is going to start by responding to who Jesus is to you. It's about responding to the call that He's knocking at the door of your heart today, and He's saying, "Hey, I'm here, and I want to have that relationship with you. Today, I want to give you an opportunity. Today, you can start living with a confidence in who Jesus is as your personal Lord and Savior, a God who came down to wash your feet, wash you clean, so that you can know the full life that He has for you, a relationship with God in a life-giving community. I want to give you that opportunity to make that decision today, to accept Jesus into your heart and into your life. And John 10 verse 10 tells us, "For it is with the heart we believe and are justified, and with our mouth that we profess that faith and are saved." And you know in your heart today that you believe that Jesus is who He says He is. I want to give you an opportunity to profess that faith, to say, "Jesus, I hear you and I receive what you've done for me. I receive who you are. I believe in my heart. I'm being bold. I'm believing that you are Christ, that you are my Savior. And you know what? This decision, it's not about a denomination. It's not about being a member of a church. It's about you and Jesus. It's about a relationship where you know Him as Lord of your life. So I'm not calling any person to the front. I'm not going to put you on the spot. But while every eye is closed and every head is bowed, I'm going to ask you simply to raise your hand so that I can include you in a prayer. And I'm going to give you that opportunity right now. And if you want to make that decision, just raise your hand so I can include you in a prayer. I see that hand. That's so awesome. Come on, God's knocking at your heart today, and this is your opportunity to respond to the call. I see that hand. To respond to what Jesus is saying to you right now. He's saying, I know you, and you can know me as your personal Lord and Savior. And right now, if that's you, I want to encourage you. Don't let this moment pass. Be bold, be brave, and believe. If there's anybody else, I'm going to ask you just right now. I know some of us, we're wrestling in this moment. We're wrestling. We don't know if we should be brave. Maybe this is the first time you've been called and to be brave. And I want to encourage you. You've got people around you who are ready to champion you, to encourage you. So if there's anyone else in this room right now that wants to accept, I see that end. I see that end. So good. God was waiting just for you. Awesome. You can lower your hands. Thank you so much. But you know what? We're going to pray this prayer together. We say we are family, and we're going to stand with those and pray this prayer out loud. And the team behind me, they're going to pray with. And I want to encourage you, if you made that decision, you're going to pray that prayer from the bottom of your heart, and we're going to pray together right now. Jesus, I ask you to come into my life to make me whole. I believe that you lived. I believe that you died on the cross, but that you rose again, so that I may have everlasting life. Lord, come into my heart and make me whole. You are my Lord and my Savior. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Well, how incredible is that, man? So good. You know, I believe God has such great plans for this church, for your life. And so I want to encourage you, don't let this pass. You know, we said, don't let this pass. Take it with you. When you leave here, take as much as you can with you. Keep sitting with God. Keep praying that God would reveal to you all that He's called you for. And I want to encourage you, join the family. Stay after the service. Have a coffee with us. It's going to be incredible. But so good. Have a blessed week.